Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Let's welcome you, my family, joining us this afternoon on 082-657-2729. We are crossing over now to Udadu Sandi Liswana, my family, and this conversation is a continuation from last week. You will remember that last week, for example, we were dealing mainly and primarily with leadership. And so we had an outstanding question that we needed answered last week, and the question there was what does justice look like, looking at the fact that as South Africans we're such a diverse nation, we're diverse culturally, racially, religiously. When we talk about justice, what would that look, what is justice, what is a definition of justice that would encompass everybody's background, that would encompass everybody's point of view and everybody's ideology, you know? So we want to have that answered. Now, Tata's joining us on the line, 11:12 now after 5 is your time. Tata, good afternoon and welcome again to Radio Pulpit.
Hello, Ayanda, and to the listeners of Radio Pulpit.
No, thank you again for your time. You know, we continue with our conversation on leadership, and today we want to zoom in on the issue of justice. I know that you've broken it down to social justice, and there's also then justice in isolation. Let me hand over to you, Dada, to talk about justice and, you know, just a bit of background, my family. Remembering that when we were dealing with the issue of leadership, some of the aspects of a leader was that they must be committed to a sense of justice and there must be a righteousness around them. And so we identified those. And so in order then for us to come to a point where we agree that this is a leader that would be eligible for election, that would, you know, that we are comfortable with sending out if they need to represent the church in public platforms, we know they will stand for justice. But actually, what then is just this social justice that we are dealing with, Dada?
Thank you, Ayanda. let me put it to you this way. First and foremost, before we go into the scriptures and all that, one of the ways that a leader knows that they are on the right track, if that the decisions and actions that you take allow for the flourishing of an increasing number of people, right? It's not that today it's flourishing of many. Next year, it must be the flourishing of more and more and more, and abundance, part of abundance, right? Another way of looking at justice from a biblical standpoint, if you look at Christ, people look at Christ that he carried a scepter to show authority. And Christ comes as a judge, you know. The word of God comes as a judge, you know. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. So, it will cut out the wheat from the chaff straight away, the word of God. So one of the things that you need to understand about this concept of justice is that there is a condition that people were put in. When Adam and Eve were put into the Garden of Eden, they were put into a flourishing environment with no oppression, with no injustice anywhere. So when Christ, who is the last Adam, the other Adam damaged the whole system, Christ comes to restore us back to that system where nobody is oppressed by anybody, nothing really, all those things are removed. So you must understand that when we talk about justice, when you have gone through the process of justice, you must eventually end up in the Garden of Eden. So you sure. need to have that. You need to have that sense. And that sense now is that stated differently. You cannot say you are in the Garden of Eden and you are a Christian when you are keeping slaves, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a leader, more people every year must enjoy more and more flourishing.
Hmm.
In your house, there cannot be people who live as doormen and you are a man of God or a woman of God. Or in your community, there are people who live as doormen. Because everybody must have the Eden experience. So I say that just to give people some form of description or some form of definition of what we're talking about. So a person who's not in the Garden of Eden has not yet experienced justice in its fullness. So then, however, I had chosen a scripture for this, which is Luke chapter 4. Now, before we read Luke chapter 4, let me give my context of how I interpret Luke chapter 4. Christ came around to introduce social justice for all peoples on earth, to remove earthly and spiritual bondages and oppressions on all of humanity. So whether you are oppressed by demons or you are oppressed by another human being, Christ came to release you, to release you.
Amen. Amen.
Christ points at poverty as an enemy to be destroyed, or what many call economic justice. Poverty is an economic injustice. Poverty damages the image of God in each poor human being and limits the flourishing of their God-given gifts. Christ points to the release of those who may have been enslaved, human trafficking, false imprisonment, intimidation that limits the freedoms of humans in their local communities, terrorized by corrupt politicians, terrorized by the police, corrupt magistrates, and by organized crime, among other things that limit freedom. So there is freedom from fear. Right? Christ said it is the perfect love of God that enters. When that love of God enters, fear is cast out.
Sure.
That is another version of justice that you must. You cannot live in fear and say you are living in justice at the same time. And you cannot put people in fear, threaten them with izinkabi, threaten them with all kinds of dangers, and they live in fear because of you, and you say you are part and parcel of God's justice. It cannot be.
Sure.
So, yes. Christ talks about the destruction of ignorance so that the eyes of our understanding may be opened. This talks to free access to data, facts, knowledge, and wisdom that opens our eyes. The Bible tells us that bear in mind that there are people who can see, who can pass an optometric test, but who don't see. Because the eyes of their understanding are in darkness and they are dimmed. So Christ came to open the eyes of understanding. This means that the child in White City, Tamavu, in Soweto, must have the access to knowledge and wisdom as the child, the same access as the child in Rende. The child in Kwakwa must have some access to knowledge and wisdom as the child in Bloemfontein. That is epistemic justice or knowledge justice. Because a human being cannot operate without wisdom. Christ said, in all your getting, get understanding. Illumination of the mind, illumination of the spirit, there must be light. Let there be light. Christ also came to announce the year of Jubilee, where freedom for all people and across all spheres of human life comes about. Those who are downtrodden are raised and set free. Those who are dormant in their homes, workplaces, and communities are raised back to be in the fullness of the image of the Son of God. Right? So, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, just two verses. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce the release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth and deliver to those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. That is the amplified version of the Bible. Verse 19, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord. That is the day of the year of the Lord, is this, the Jubilee year. The day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Imagine when the free favors of God profusely abound. In other words, the favors of God are a flood on earth. And that is what he proclaimed 2,000 years ago, that he has come to open the floodgates so that the favors of God can flood the earth. So who are supposed to be exempted from those favors of God that are profusely, profusely abounding? Nobody. So, Christ also taught that all of us must learn and practice forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration. Those people we have wronged must also be repaired by us with our own resources and efforts. Christian justice is restorative justice. It repairs what was damaged. Once through Christ and the Bible you discover your injustices and sins against fellow humans and heathens, then you must restore, restitute, and reconcile properly and in a tangible and measurable way. Luke 19. We're talking about Zacchaeus now, the tax collector. Zacchaeus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, I want to come to the point. After Jesus had been talking to Zacchaeus, the light comes in, the eyes of understanding of Zacchaeus are opened. Then that Zacchaeus stood up in verse 8, Luke 19, verse 8, and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." So Zacchaeus doesn't say, "Guys, I'm sorry, I was robbing you all this time. I was saying I was collecting taxes, a lot of that money. I was stealing it for myself and my family. Now the Lord has shown me that I'm a sinful man. Now I'm not just going to apologize to you in public. Everybody that I have cheated, please come. If I took 10 rand from you, I'm going to give you 40 rand. I stole 100 rand from you, I'm going to give you 400 rand." That is what it says. It says, "I will pay back four times the amount." So when we say we talk about Christian justice is restorative justice. In other words, you don't just apologize, you take your own resources, your own. You don't point that let's go and look for donations from America. Let's go to the United Nations or somewhere else and find money to go and repair the damage that I have done. I must take my own money, Sunday Leswana, and go and repair the damage that I have done to Ayanda Nini, myself. Christ warned leaders not to be hypocrites, punishing small crooks while rewarding and promoting the bigger crooks. I hope we understand that idea. We warned that we must not do small things that make us look holy, while in reality, after dark, we do the most outrageous crimes and injustices secretly and claim credit for inconsequential things. Matthew 23, verse 2, verses 23 to 24. woe to you, scribes and pretenders and hypocrites, for you have given a tenth of your mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected and omitted the weightier, more important matters of the law. That is right and justice and mercy and fidelity. These you ought particularly to have done without neglecting the other. You blind guy, filtering out an insect, a gnat, gulping down a camel. In other words, you will catch in your sieve an insect, but you can't catch a camel. A camel goes through. You will catch a small crook, but a bigger crook you will not be able to catch, because you don't want to catch that one, and you are one of the bigger crooks. So he said, pay your tithe. Pay your tithe. But do not neglect the matters of what?
Of justice.
Of justice and law and fidelity. Right? Now, fidelity and mercy. In other words, lack of conflict of interest. When we talk about fidelity here, we're saying there must be no conflict of interest. But when we say, here is the 10,000 rand of the stock fair, you must not whilst you are asked to look after the money of the stock fair, then you mix it with yours. Then you can't remember whether the stock fair is 10,000 or it was just 5,000 and mine was actually 50,000. So, let's continue there.
Let me ask you on that note. I mean, it's such a powerful point. We absolutely have to take a break, right? To go to the news at 5:30. It's 28 minutes after 5. That is your time, my family. Mondays have not been the same, you know, since we started having these conversations. I can totally guarantee you that now. You know, what a challenging explanation, Dada. And I think the insights that you're sharing are very necessary, you know, to sort of wake up the church back to a place where we are not artificial in our analysis of what leadership is, what the responsibilities are, and what the reality, you know, of some of the loopholes in leadership are and what those look like in practice. So I think the question that I'd like us to answer when we come back from the newsroom is the principle is laid out. I think... You know, even if it's just 60%, we get it, right, Dada? But now, how does the leader, you know, implement that in practical reality, in everyday operation? That's the first thing, the leader in the church. And secondly, one of the biggest challenges around Christian leadership, Christian justice, is that the church is a safe space, you know, to implement, to hold people accountable. It can be done, even though we've seen very weird, you know, displays of rebellion, etc. But it can be done in the church. However, when you have a Christian leader that is being launched out to a secular world, right, their ability to hold people accountable according to those principles, it shifts and it looks a little bit differently. Can you maybe give advice and insights of how this kind of justice that we're looking for, that is not hypocritical, this kind of justice that is fair, this kind of justice that does not look at place, time, or geography, that wants to do the right thing for everybody, how does that look like in the actual secular world, and how do leaders in the church do that practically when we come back from the news? It's 30 minutes after 5, my family. That's your time. Yeah, so if you're also a leader in the church and perhaps you've got a bit of insight, please do share your thoughts. We'd like to hear from you. These are very important conversations that must be had. 0826572729. Let's take a quick break, news break. We're coming back to have Dada respond to that question.
You're tuned into Spectrum on 657 AM. Reach your customers in the car, at the office, at home, or wherever they are, night or day. Through advertising with Radio Pulpit, you can reach a large, unique and loyal audience in a most affordable way. With over 500,000 people on our various platforms, from Gauteng to the Cape, you simply cannot go wrong. So advertise today. Contact us on 012-334-1339. Or for advertising packages that we offer, go to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know you can listen to your favorite programs whenever you want? Check out our podcasts. Listen to your best love presenters anytime, anyplace. No need to miss out on your favorite programming. It's just a click away. Go to our website at radiopulpit.co.za and click on our podcast page for a variety of content at your fingertips. Yes, Radio Pulpit is still your daily companion.
The prayer of a righteous person has great power. Please continue to pray for Radio Pulpit and the work we do in South Africa and beyond.
We'll be catching up with the one and only Dwayne van Rensburg at 10 minutes before the top of the hour, my family, just to find out what you can expect on the other side of 6 o'clock. That is your sports team coming through to keep you updated. And literally just had a tongue twister there, and filling in the gap on the other side of 7 together with Dwayne, just dealing with social justice issues, my family. So don't miss out. Don't tune out of Radio Pulpit. Right now, Dr. Sandile Leswana is our guest and joining us to perhaps try and answer, you know, the two questions that are on the table. I want to try and see if I can actually pick Dada's brain around the riddle. Ah, Bazalwane, the riddle is still on the table. Metunana, yo, I don't know how we're going to do this thing with the riddle, right? Let's cross over. Dada standing by on the line. Dada, thank you so much for standing by for us. Let's try and see if we can just respond to those two questions. The practicalities of justice, Christian justice, and how does a Christian leader implement this kind of justice in this broken world?
Thank you, Ayanda. Let me just make a quick introduction to the point you are raising from my notes. That is, even in public affairs, we must raise the standard of morality and justice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When the enemies of Daniel investigated him, and investigated all of his work, they could not find fault anywhere.
Mm.
Not in his private life, not in his public life, not in his professional life.
Mm.
So there were no faults they could find in his private life. There were no faults in his public life. There were no faults in his professional life. And the last scripture I'm reading before I address you on the question you're asking, Daniel 6:5. When the president and satraps sought to find occasion to bring accusation against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion, for he was truthful, nor was there any error afoot in him. Now, I'm sure that you have experienced some of these things in a limited sense.
Mm.
You know, when we were students, we had our own shortcomings.
Mm.
Let me put it like that. Then there would be this guy, there was a young man when we were students, who would be getting 90%, 95%, 98% for statistics. There was a course there called statistics.
That course. No, anybody who knows that course, it cost a lot of people their qualifications. But anyway, yes, that.
Exactly. Now, you who is getting 40% and 30% and 50% and all that, you could turn around and say, that guy is only getting all those marks because the lecturers are doing favors for him.
Mm.
But the university eventually appointed this guy to be a tutor to all of
them. Mm-hmm.
All of them in this guy was a first year. He became a tutor to us, his classmates.
Wow.
And we thank God for that example. So you must not say when you are fiddling around, clowning around, and say that everybody else cannot achieve the standard that God has set. Because you are involved in a lot of other stuff that the people who are supposed to be, who are excellent, then you want to cast aspersions that the people who are excellent are doing other things other than just the simple thing that is supposed to be done. So every one of us who is taking up a leadership position, one of the things that you need to be careful about, and you do need to be careful about these things. One, in connection with the discipline and the ethics and justice that we're talking about, you need to be careful about money.
Right.
In the sense that money must be earned in a lawful and moral way. And it's possible to earn millions lawfully, properly, in broad daylight. It's possible to become a millionaire before you commit a crime. It's possible to live a very dignified life, paying for your children's school fees and doing all the things that you are supposed to do, even if you are not a millionaire, just earning good life. The Bible says God will give you witty inventions. You get good ideas how to create wealth and create money. So money needs to be carefully managed. And it's not your job, especially if you didn't get a clear calling from God about that, that you are going to have the most fancy clothes than anybody else, that you are going to have the most fancy cars and the latest cars, among last number and all that, that you are going to have the most fancy house, the most fancy everything. Be careful before you do those things that God actually called you to do that.
Hey, Dad.
The second one. I'll put it differently. Number one, as a woman, just know that there is no shortage of men who want to sleep with you. Men are forever ready to sleep with any woman that can become available on short notice.
We're talking circular application, Dada, of Christian leadership, right? Just to be sure.
We're talking about applying Christianity on earth.
Okay.
Bear in mind that the kingdom of God is on earth. It's not in the church. It's on the whole planet. If we are in the jungle, it's there.
Okay.
Everywhere where you are, the kingdom of God is there. So if you are a managing director of a company, or you are a secretary of the company, or you are a secretary, executive secretary to the CEO, a senior of Sasol, Vodacom, whoever it may be, whichever company you can think of, do not think that that CEO is not think if the chance presented itself of having sex with you. But like every other man, generally speaking, they are always ready for that. Similarly, as a man, there is no shortage of attractive men. And if you were to pay attention to those attractive women, all of them, you will never be able to fulfill your mission in life, whatever your mission is, whether you are a sportsman, whether whatever you are, the minute you think that your job is to exhaust all the beautiful women, which is sex, uncontrolled. T.D. Jakes once talked about that, hey, Tebs, let's start budgeting sex. It looks like we're over-consuming. So there needs to be boundaries. Not because women have stopped being beautiful or stopped being attractive, But because you understand that this thing is going to be a problem sooner or later. So the last one is power. The desire that you must have more and more power, more and more influence, more and more decision must depend on you, and more people must submit to you. Three things. Greedy, you are greedy for power, you are greedy for sex, you are greedy for money. I don't care if you are a communist, you are a socialist, you are a capitalist, you are a Catholic, you are a charismatic, whatever you call yourself, a Zulu, a Mutana, whatever you call yourself. If you don't control those three things,
will control
sooner or later you are going to exercise injustices on many, many people.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I think that explanation, it leaves so much for us to literally ponder on. And certainly, I feel like we're probably nearing a place and a time where we are going to have to just maybe even, you know, just raise a prayer of repentance. Because every time you engage us, every time you engage us on leadership issues, you know, I don't know if it's just me. There's just such a strong sense of conviction. Perhaps whether we've not taught with enough boldness and clarity, or that we've not rebuked, you know, certain things that should have been rebuked, or that we've been party to some of the things that are coming up, you know, and looking at the standard of leadership. We appreciate your time. This is where we're going to leave it for today. Just a parting shot in a minute around the issue of leaders and our responsibility to exercise justice.
I think that what I will say to people, connecting to your words, actually, when I was a student of Christian ethics and Christian leadership at university, I struggled. It took me long to study, because I tended to cry a lot during my studies. Because the things that were being brought up in the course, I was implicated myself in some of those things. So there were times of repentance during the studies. I will leave it there.
Sure. Okay. No, I see. No, like I see. You know, times of refreshment, they are preceded by repentance. And you, as a nation, you know, even as a church in this time, maybe, it wouldn't hurt to engage in a time of repentance. Perhaps in that way, we will start cultivating leaders, you know, that are ready to go and represent the church here on earth. Thank you for your time, Dada. Dada, do you want to help us with our riddle?
Sorry?
Would you like to engage in our riddle as we let you go? We've just literally got a minute. We've got this riddle.
I saw the riddle as we're starting the radio program. I haven't applied my mind. I don't want to take chances for the colors of the light. I'm not falling for that one.
You plead the fifth. No, we hear you, Dada. We hear you, and thank you so much for your time. We really look forward to a continuing of these conversations next week, Monday. Have yourself a really blessed week ahead.
God bless you.
Sandile Leswana, my family. He's Googleable. Okay, if you Google Sandile Leswana, you certainly will find him, find his Facebook page, his contact details. He is available for consultation. Certainly, you know, to equip your leaders in your church. We truly appreciate him for really allocating time. This is really appreciated, Dada. And of course, pleading the fifth on the riddle. And I feel like he's not the only one. Everybody's like silent about the riddle. But coming back to this conversation, my family, really, you know, we have no choice as the church but to take leadership issues seriously. There's no other time than now for us to really do a quick audit of our efforts in building leaders and cultivating leaders. And I suppose for those, you know, churches and for those Christian groupings that have been cultivating leaders, there's really no better time than now to kind of do that litmus test, you know. Has our leadership efforts, leadership development efforts worked? You know, do we have leaders in the church that we can send out into the public arena as we continue to strive for righteousness and justice in our nation? Choose God with Johnny Cray Foster. 10 minutes before the top of the hour is your time. On the other side of this, I'm going to try and see if we can steal Dwayne for a while. And I'll also try and see if we can actually pick his brain about the riddle. It's Spectrum on a Monday afternoon.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love. On 657 AM.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.